T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Whoa.
KZ got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Grady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, it's Tuesday. Lots going on today, including the latest with our Braves as they add an addition to the club. We'll talk more about that coming up in 15 minutes here as part of our strong arm story of the day. The most important story of the day on the way in the 6 o'clock hour. Make sure you're there at 6:20. Mike Bell, we were talking about, you know, Laquon Treadwell and having some fun with that with Bo and yeah, man, no man. But there are some guys as we get to the Falcon Report today, guys, and we'll talk more about what's been going on in the world of college football as well as we had a great conversation with Brett McMurphy earlier, college football insider here on the show. But there are some guys who need to have monumental years, really. I mean, guys that just, you know, forget about, well, he needs to be good. There are guys that need to be great on this football team if they're going to take the next step. And as we get to the Falcon Report, guys, one of those guys, and Mike and I have talked extensively about him, that needs a breakout year, that needs a jump, is 24-year-old Tack McKinley. Now, Mike, if I was to ask you, and I know this hasn't been a normal year, okay, so we haven't seen OTAs, we haven't seen, you know, mini camp and things that we normally are accustomed to being a part of. But if I was to ask you right now, what are your impressions and what you think about where Tack is going to be in this upcoming season? Based on what you've seen, do you think he's poised to take a jump?
Well, I mean, we can only go by what, because we haven't seen these guys. We didn't get a chance, you know, at least, you know, in the previous years, we get to get out there for one of the OTAs that they let us do some of the interviews. But, you know, Tack had a good year, I think, by most young NFL standards, you know, 17 and 18, 6 sacks and 7 sacks. And you were looking for the third year. If he wasn't the, some guys just come out of the box just raring to go, okay? You know, they could be third rounders, fourth rounders, sometimes first rounders, as we know, it's a crapshoot. But, I mean, at this stage, 16 and a half sacks through 3 seasons, it's nothing to sneeze at. It's just the impact. I mean, you know, that's why we always, I'll make my weekly Mike Smith impression, you know, sacks don't matter. No, they don't matter as long as you're moving the quarterback off the spot and having, you know, an impact on what the offense is trying to do. And sometimes they go part and parcel with the numbers. The stats back up the impact you're having in the pass rush. But, you know, when are the big moments? You know, when Tack knocked so-and-so's ding-dong in the dirt and we picked up the fumble. I mean, the big moments, that's what you're looking for. When you draft a pass rusher in the first round, you want a guy that's going to be here for a second contract, and we don't even know if he's going to make that. I mean, we didn't pick up his option for a reason. So I don't know. I mean, I'm sorry, long answer to short question, I have no idea. Dan Quinn told us back in the spring he's going to be healthy, the shoulder's finally going to be right.
And that's the part that we won't know until the season starts, right? I mean, the whole health thing, and you assume that guys have had all this time off, they've rehabbed, their shoulder should be stronger, or their knee, and, you know, Keanu Neal, an Achilles is different. But when you're talking about a standard, and I say this because there are lots of injuries that used to shut guys down for years, it just doesn't happen that way. This is, to me, is a standard injury where he should be fine through this offseason and be back. 26th overall pick. He's not a top 10 pick. He wasn't even, for that matter, top 15 pick. But he is a first-rounder. And, Mike, this is the conversation we always have about who's contributing to your football team. And you know, there are a lot of third and fourth and fifth-round guys in the NFL, and it's really made up of that, much more so than it is the first-round guys. But with that said, this is a guy who should have and should be impacting your football team in a way where you feel like the pick has been justified. This is what we said about Vic Beasley. So I'm asking you now, the 26th overall pick in the 2017 draft, has that been justified by what Tack has been able to do for us as of yet?
Played a full season his first year. We had a great defense in 17. You know, we've talked about it. You know, it was a great job by Marquand Manuel and company. The guy, you know, was part of a rotation that got after it. I mean, we were holding teams to a lot of – I mean, let's be honest. We had some really good defensive efforts. We just couldn't score points that year. But, you know, the question is Tack worth it? Well, the team, whether you want to say it was the buyer's remorse from Vic Beasley or the perception they didn't want to get caught with their pants down again paying for something which might not be worth it, they did not pick up the fifth-year option. And, again, if Tack – is he upset? Is he, you know, he's kind of tough to get a read on. Sometimes it's goofy on social media. Okay, I don't give a crap about any of that. Just what do you bring on Sunday? So if he is irked, you know, if everybody is in the world is disrespected, you got a chance to do something about it. And then you can stick it up the Falcons' keister, you know, go for 10, 12 sacks this year, be an impact guy, and go sign down the street with the Saints if you want to, right? But yep. You got to do it. I mean, I just don't – he has not been worth it, okay? He just not, he's not an impact guy. We needed moments for this guy to rise up and step up. And, again, I know that everyone wants to go back, well, he's not 100%. Well, again, not being 100% consistently is also part of how you are described. If you're described as an oft-injured player, that's not giving me the bang for the buck, right?
It's not. And the reason why we bring this up is there are guys who need breakout seasons. And I'll give you an example, okay? Calvin Ridley is a player. In two seasons, this guy has put up numbers and produced and had big moments already on a team that has a number one star receiver. The point is, we don't have to wait around to see if Calvin Ridley's going to plan out. This kid can play. We know it. And in two seasons, if he didn't get hurt last year, Mike, he was on his way, I think, to a 1,000-yard season and probably 10 more touchdowns. He got cut short because he didn't play the last 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. I can't say that right now about Tack. And that is the thing that I think we're all kind of waiting on. It's Dukes and Bell. It is our Falcon Report, as always, brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Domino's, guys, they got some great deals going on right now, including that mix and match, which everybody loves to get a piece of. Go to Domino's.com and see how you can make a mix and match for just $5.99. All sorts of really cool taste sensations. Get all the details, guys, when you go to Domino's.com and go for it, man. Matter of fact, Carl, you got cookie brownies. Oh, I love those. Two topping pizzas, just some of the really cool stuff. Two item minimum. Get all the details at Domino's.com.
Everybody, by the way, and I'm going to say this because I know there are people like, man, you guys are tough on Tack. No, we're tough on all these guys.
Oh, screw that noise. You know what, boys?
That we need to have better performances from. Here's the thing, though. The general manager wants him to play well. Thomas Dimitroff has come on the show. He's been on at Andy and Randy. Everybody, Dan Quinn, everybody, Tosh Lapoy, the new D-line coach, everybody is wanting him to do well. But the pressure's on, Mike. And that's where we're at. The pressure's on. And that's why we are where we're at with our stance about Tack and where he's been and where hopefully he's going to go.
Yeah, I apologize. Let me just step on you there. No, I'm just saying, like, if anybody wants to sit there and start playing the world's smallest violin for Tack McKinnon, I'm sorry, man. You're drafted with the first round. There's expectations, okay? Unless the Falcons completely blew it and you're just not worth it. And
right.
J.J. Watt's brother, no matter what position he plays, in a 3-4, a 4-3, a 6-2, a 1-9, this guy's having an impact, okay? I don't give a crap what you put in. An athlete is an athlete is an athlete. And J.J. Watt's brother, someone said, you know, I don't know, is he that dynamic? Well, he sure looks more dynamic than Tack ever has been. You know, so, I mean, I'm just, yeah, I'm done. I'm done apologizing. You know, by the way, that's going to be one, it's not even New Year's yet. And 2020 has been such a crappy year, I might as well say it now. We always have to make these stupid, you and I say it all the time. Well, you know, he's a really good guy. We don't want to kill him. Screw that. I'm ready to kill everybody who doesn't bring the lunch pail and get the job done on this Falcon team.
Yeah, it's time. It is.
I'm sorry, Squid. Yeah, I don't know. If Laquon Treadwell has the Comeback Player of the Year award, I'll kiss his ass in the county square. But the guy's a bum, and that's why we got him.
Bad about Laquon Treadwell.
You could acquire all the first-round busts and say that you're going to unlock the – you're going to be the reclamation project, and about the only time that ever worked for us is with Adrian Claiborne. But I hope to be proved wrong. I do.
All right. I want to switch gears. I want to switch gears. No, man, listen, this whole babying thing, I've never been that guy. I say what is on my mind and tell you how I feel. But I do get that some people feel like, well, you're being hard. No, bruh. You are getting paid a lot to do your job. And your job in this particular defense is not only does help to stop the run, but also we went and got a pass rusher. That was what we were told when we decided to go draft this guy. So we're all hoping that he does well. We will talk more about guys that are poised for a breakout. I want to shift gears, though, and I want to talk about the Saints for a second. Because this is the team that everybody thinks we have to beat in this division to not only win the division, but also maybe to get to our next Super Bowl. Anybody you talk to in the NFL will tell you they think the Saints are better than we are. And that's based on the last few years. That's based on them being in the playoffs and all that stuff. And from a personnel standpoint, Mike, they may have on a roster, their roster may be better than ours. But here's the thing about the Saints. There's a lot of potential on the D-line. And as much as we're talking about Tack McKinley, I just want to put this in perspective. As much as we need Tack and other guys to step up, the Saints have two first-round picks that haven't done jack. And Sheldon Rankins has been hurt the last few seasons. was a first-round pick. He had six sacks last year, Mike. You know who had more sacks than him? A guy that's not even on our team anymore. Vic Beasley had more.
Here's
where I'm at, though. Everybody talks about the Saints. They have major question marks about guys they've drafted that haven't lived up to it, that haven't panned out. I've been telling Saints fans this for the last 3 years, and they all, you're clowning Davenport. You're damn right, because he's not that dude. He's not that dude. That dude is Cam Jordan. Jordan has 87 sacks, Mike, second in franchise history. He's the guy that you have to worry about. He's the guy you got a game plan for. So as much as we talk about our defense, this whole notion about the Saints, and they've got some really good players, don't get me wrong, but their D-line is not all that it should be either, because they have two first-round picks that have huge question marks around them.
Now, Ryan Ramczyk, the tackle, he's been solid for them. You can't argue with that. And, again, Marshawn Lattimore, you know, again, some people feel that maybe, I don't know, when you think about 19, but this dude has had been he's been a Pro Bowler in 17 and 19. You know, the guy makes plays. So I'm with you. I mean, the Saints have been, and the reason they've been kind of, you know, in the playoffs consistently is they're missing more than they're hitting, I should say, more than they're missing. But when you make that swing for the fences move, when you think about some of the other things they've needed the last couple of years when they've come up short, you're right. I'm with you. That's why we clown that pick all the time.
Yeah, here's the thing about Cam Jordan, too, just to put it in perspective. Three straight seasons of double-digit sacks.
Impact.
We haven't had a guy that's had three double-digit sack seasons consecutively on this team since, go ahead, say it, Mike, since, right. No, Vic didn't have 3 years of double-digit sacks.
He had one. You got to go back to the Predator, Don Abraham.
So Cam Jordan last year, 15 and a half sacks, and people believe this year he might get to 20 because he's peaking that way. This is the point I'm getting to, guys. As much as we talk about the Saints, and we will have plenty of conversations about them, I don't know what's up with Sheldon Rankins. If he's still injured or 100%, he was a player back, I think, in 17 before the injury happened. He had like eight sacks, I think, in 17, 18. But he's been a shell of himself. These are two huge first-round picks the Saints are banking on. They haven't lived up to it. So as much as we talk about the Falcons and what our guys need to do, our nemesis in this division also has some question marks.
Yeah, I know that certainly this division is going to be, again, we know what we got. We're probably a little under the radar because, you know, just being in the South, everyone always focuses on like the Packers and the Bears. That's a great rivalry. We know the Saints and what we have in that rivalry. We're going to see, you know, Brady's got some offensive linemen that aren't so sure about wanting to play football this year. We didn't mention it in the NFL Blitz, but there were some conversations that, again, I believe it was Richard Sherman had commented on, saying, Carl, there's still some concerns that the players have, and we're about to start camp here in a few weeks. So they still got to iron that stuff out.
Well, Mike, and you know, we've talked a lot about the NBA and certain guys opted out, and it wasn't as many as we thought. We've seen it in baseball. You think that's going to be the same scenario in the NFL?
I don't know. I mean, the comments from the Bucks tackle last week were like, you know, he's get the heck out of here. He's got a pregnant wife, and he doesn't want to mess with it. And again, I can't speak for everybody out there, but I mean, the Packers, here's the thing with the Bucks. The Bucks have got to be able to protect Tom Brady. Because as we said last hour, talking about, you know, what Cam Newton, Cam's puffing his chest, like, I can do things that Brady can't do. He's not lying. When Brady feels pressure, you've seen it. He just gets down. He's gonna, you know, live to play another in the next play. But if you can start beating up Tom Brady, you totally take him out of his comfort zone. You saw it at times last year. You certainly saw it in big Super Bowl moments. So we know what we got to do, and that's how it kind of goes full circle when you first asked me about Tack McKinley.
Yep.
If we're going to win this division, we got to get some heat on the quarterback. And hopefully Dante Fowler is going to help bring the heat to rise all the ships on that defensive line and get after it.
Hey, man, we got more to get to. Strong Arm Story of the Day is on the way. Braves making moves. What did they do, and how much does it improve us? It's next.
Yeah, and then I got into an entanglement with August. An entanglement with August.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foy and Associates Personal Injury Law.
Wow. Oh, by the way, real quick, for guys who are just getting in their cars or they're home already, wow. And you missed it. We always assume, Carl, these guys listen all 25 hours of the show each week. But with Will Smith and Jada, and Jada spilling the juice that's a bad metaphor, spilling the beans had an extramarital affair. Well, check that. They were in an open period, I guess.
Well, they had broken up.
To see, well, they were living separate lives.
Yes.
Will's face, though, and all the memes that are out there. So Craig's theme today has been basically infidel. It's been a high infidelity today here on Dukes
and Bell. And then I got into an entanglement with August.
An entanglement?
Yeah.
I loved it. By the way, if you've not seen the Red Table Talk, his response, they're in a place where, again, it's they've worked through it, but his mm-hmm. response was classic, dude. Like, really, that's what you're going to call it? And she's laughing.
And by the way, everybody assumes that, you know, while this was going on, that he was, I bet you Will was with Margot Robbie. Well, he didn't talk about it. I mean, Jada put it out there. And again, if an entanglement means shacking up in a hotel with an R&B singer for a couple of weeks at a time, yes, that's an entanglement.
All right, man. So it's our entanglement playlist we're playing today. It is Dukes and Bell coming up. We will get to more guy talk, also top three at six. But let's talk about what's going on with the Braves today. First of all, Mike Soroka named the opening day starter. Is this as big of a deal, Mike, as it would have been if we had a normal baseball season?
Well, it was nice to – we knew that moving along that, you know, Julio Teheran was no longer a Brave and that maybe Folty would get a shot. But I love Fried and Soroka. They are the future. And, again, Folty did a fantastic job down the stretch. I'll get off his back. And, again, I'm not talking about – if you want to focus on what happened in Game 5 against the Cards, yes, that's brutal. But he was really money down the stretch. You won the division because Folty was – the Braves were winning his starts. But I love Soroka and Fried, so I would have flipped a coin. I like the young guys getting a chance to start this very short season.
Yeah, I have no issues with it, and it makes sense. So put your best out there. Let's go to work. The other big news today is Yasiel Puig is going to be a Brave. Now, if you're going, wait a minute, what's Yasiel Puig been doing? Well, Mike mentioned it. He played in a couple of different teams. Obviously, he came up. It was a huge phenomenon with the Dodgers guys. But he's not an old guy by any stretch, Mike. I mean, he's not even 30 yet. But here he is. He had choices and options to decide where he wanted to go. And he decides that this is the best place for him to at least play this year. We'll see what happens. But as I said earlier, and I think, you know, if you're going to overthink this about Puig, you're doing too much. It's a 60-game season. Who cares? We've got a universal DH. Let's see what he can do with the bat, Mike, and help us. And at the end of the day, let's see where this goes. We know the young players we have coming up in our farm system that are going to be there in the next few years and what our outfield's going to look like. I just think this is a move for right now because of Nick Markakis.
Right. Markakis is, he's decided not to play this year, and we understood that, respected that. But Puig is a younger guy. He, you know, he can steal the base. He's tough. I know that I said this, Carl, earlier to you. I said there's always going to be that element of Braves fans. Oh, I don't know about that. Like, yeah, he's going to be an egomaniac, and he's going to make Acuna a bitch. Like, stop. Don't worry about the clubhouse dynamic, okay? Everything will work itself out. This guy is an upgrade. He's 29. Now, look, I mean, just off the top of your head, Carl, when you think about it, okay, Acuna, Albies, Freeman, Ozuna, okay, then Puig, you know, and then maybe Austin Riley or whoever else is going to be out there. I mean, that's a hell of a 1-5 or 6. Who are you pitching around, right? You got some real pop in this. And again, this is just adding rotation, as we said, to designated hitter. A couple of people said he was tearing the cover off the ball in the second half for the Reds last year. There was no ego and attitude, I should say, with the Indians after the Reds left. I got no problem with this. Again, if you feel that this guy is another one of these Cuban miscreants, which I think some people figure the guy's everybody's a cespedist and doesn't have his head screwed on straight. This guy will be fine, and it's a great upgrade. I'm down with this. I think it's an exciting move for the Braves. A great job by Alex Anthopoulos to make him decide to come here.
Yeah, I agree. And that's the other thing. You know, I think we've kind of taken that aspect of this whole signing and this season for granted. We had an unbelievable offseason where the Braves committed a lot of money to the bullpen, which is what they needed to do. Yes, you lost Josh Donaldson, but you went out and signed, I think, a guy from a production standpoint that will be equal or maybe even as or better than Donaldson and Ozuna. Right. And now you go get Yasiel Puig and convince him, hey, you know what? You got other options, but this is probably going to be the best choice for you. So, yeah, some kudos goes out to Alex Anthopoulos. It's not always just, you know, you pick up the phone, hey, we're the Atlanta Braves. Everybody feels like they got a big blank, and they feel like they're the team. And so when you're on the phone with these guys who could be difference makers for you, mm-hmm. what are you saying to sell them? And whatever it is that Alex Anthopoulos is doing, and hopefully we'll get him back on the show here as the season gets underway, you know, whatever he's saying is working, Mike, because he's convinced guys like Will Smith, who didn't have to stay. Will Smith could have easily been like, yo, peace. They signed him to a long-term deal, at least as a reliever. You shored up the bullpen by convincing guys, yeah, we blew it in the playoffs. But guess what? This is where it's best for you to be, and this is where it's going to happen.
There's a guy who's shown some home run pop. I think the park could be really, you know, we saw Travis d'Arnaud for what it's worth, who's not, again, he's not 100 years old. He's just been banged up a little bit, but d'Arnaud went yard last night in that simulated game. We're a little nervous, by the way, about Pache sliding in second, but all indications are he's okay. He looked a lot worse on the TV coverage from Fox Sports Southeast last night. But getting back to Puig, he's had 28 home run season with the Dodgers. The guy, yeah, he strikes out a lot, but, you know, that's... He had 555 at-bats. I talked to Carl earlier. 24 homers, 84 RBIs combined between the Reds and then going over to the American League and playing the Indians for 49 games. But I'm excited. Look, this is an upgrade over Mark. It's not a knock on Mark Hakus, but you're just getting a younger guy with some physicality. Let's roll.
404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You guys can always text us. Let us know what you think about this. But we haven't started the season yet. Last night, by the way, as we recap things, Braves did have an inter-squad game. And we did see some things last night. A couple of things that came out of it. One is, you know, Soroka and Pache. They look pretty good. You had Albies and Ozuna hit two hits each off of Soroka. You had Travis d'Arnaud had a pretty good game, Mike. And then we mentioned Camargo with the home run. So there are some things that you go, okay, that's positive, that's positive. But we still don't know who's starting third base. Who's your third baseman right now, everyday guy?
Yeah, that's the burning question. I mean, before, and that's why we're going to be really up against it. If Austin Riley cannot get off to a good start, there's going to be trouble there because, remember, small sample size in spring training before they had to shut it down, but he was doing well. He got off to an amazing start last year before Major League pitchers figured him out, got him chasing out of the strike zone. He lost some discipline at the plate. But, yeah, you're hoping, Carl, that he'll be able to do his, and you trust Camargo to get, because Camargo's a streaky hitter, too, in his own way.
Yeah, people have talked about, now I haven't seen Camargo since Atlanta United's loss in MLS in the playoffs there before we went to, you know, before we got to the Cup. He was in the suite that I was in that night. I haven't seen him, but people say he lost weight. He's in the best shape of his life as far as coming into camp this year. We didn't get a chance to see all that because spring training happened and it was canceled. The point I'm making is I think he came in ready to compete for that third base spot, knowing that his playing time might be cut if Riley was going to ball out. And he's actually showing people, yo, I deserve some at-bats as well. So I think that's where Camargo is. But I haven't seen him personally, Mike, but everybody I've talked to said he looks much better than he did even at the end of last season.
Right. So you got a guy that if he can ball out, if Austin Riley gives you what you're expecting, because again, by the way, Carl, not everybody's going to hit the ground running, right? There's guys sometimes they get off to slow starts.
Right.
We talked about it. It's been commented by every baseball man we've spoken to in the last couple of weeks that, well, you know, the Nats wouldn't have made the playoffs when after a 60 game season, they got hot late. So there's no margin for this. The Braves last year, I think after 60 games, we were just a game or a half game out in the NL East. So you're going to have to roll, and Snitker, he's going to have to approach, I guess, the position players the same way he, you know, has faced or has approached the bullpen or the pitchers by quick hook. Get the guys in there that are hitting. The good news is by adding Puig, you got more depth now in your designated hitter rotation. I'm excited, man. As you said, Ozuna's a guy that not a lot of Braves fans realize, I think, how good this guy can be, although last year's numbers are not indicative of his overall performance in his career. I think it's a lot of reasons to be excited, really are. But again, tough division, and you're playing the toughest division in the American League.
All right, man. Braves making moves. It looks good on paper. Hopefully it plays out well as we get the regular season started. And as I said, we're going to blink, and then this season's going to be over. I mean, we'll get to September, and you're going to be like, whoa, they played 60 games. So we got to get off to a fast start. And Mike, we got to score runs. I mean, that sounds stupid and simplistic, but, you know, this game hasn't changed that much. And even though the season's short, I think there's more emphasis on those things. Great starting pitching, whoever it is, whether you're bringing guys out of the bullpen to start the game, which is something the Braves have talked about. It's something that has kind of become the new norm in baseball, where you have a bullpen pitcher, you know, come in, pitch an inning or two, and then you bring in your starter. You can do things like that in a shortened season. This is not going to be a normal, quote-unquote, kind of managed season from, I think, across the board from various managers, because you can experiment a little bit, Mike. And guess what? It's not about keeping guys fresh for 162. So just roll them out there and see what happens.
Man, I just can't wait. I'm liking this. And I'm joking around with a bunch of people, Carl, on social media. And you guys can hit us up on our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. I told you, though, bro, and you were joking early with me, there's always going to be these people that think of Puig as some kind of a jerk.
I mean, Is that what they think?
Well, it's a small, I guess it's a vocal minority, but they're making some noise on social media here. What do you think this guy's going to do, man? He's going to come in, put his feet up and go, ¿por qué? He's not going to speak English. He's not, I don't get it. I don't. You see a little bit of flair. You see a little bit of guy with some personality. Like Acuna. Look at what the other teams were saying about Acuna the last couple of years, man. A little swag is not a bad thing. As a matter of fact, the Braves can use a little swag, you know? And just back up that when a guy shows some swag, back him up and don't hang him out to dry like they did with Acuna last year.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. All right, man. More guy talk is on the way, Mike. You said you'd get us an update on one of the stories you were talking about earlier today?
We were talking cars earlier in the show because we're car guys, and those new Ford Broncos have everybody talking. I got the price points for a couple guys that were asking. And a story that you and I spoke about earlier this year, there was not much going on in sports, the Quentin Dunbar and former Georgia Bulldog. If you guys know the story, we'll talk about DeAndre Baker. It's even worse for them, Carl, down in South Florida. Remember that case with the guns and the card game and everything else?
Yeah.
We got some more information. I'll share it with you.
It's time for fun. It's time for guy talk.
Yes! Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Baby, part two on a Tuesday, as we're calling it, High Infidelity, which was a REO Speedwagon record, by the way, back in the day in the early 80s. It's a Carl and Mike with you. Don't forget, guys, Friday, it's a Dukes and Bell tailgate at home. Hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home 2020. So start preparing. Think about it, man. Whether you're going to be like Chef Conti and get outside the box or just be meat and potatoes like we do over here at Becky's Condo Cooking, share your stuff with us. Also, Buckhead Butcher Shop will be on board with us on Friday, Carl.
Yeah, man, we're looking forward to it. This is a unique butcher shop in many ways, and we are going to have the owner on the program to tell you guys more about it. But, I mean, most people think about just going to get, you know, your cut of meat and whatever it is, beef, lamb, whatever you might be wanting. But they specialize in helping you in more ways than just selecting the meat. We'll tell you more about it on Friday, but excited about them being on board with us.
Hey, man, we talked about this back in, I guess it was back in the spring when the story broke in South Florida about DeAndre Baker, and either there was some kind of a card game went sideways, or somehow he decided to roll up with Quentin Dunbar from Seattle and basically roust this party down in Broward County and get some of the loot, which they reportedly had lost. Well, there's a story from our buddy, the professor, John Clayton, out there in the ESPN land in Seattle, and he was talking to an attorney that's working the case. I know you and I haven't had a chance. We hadn't worked together in a while. Did you see the story that broke last week that DeAndre Baker and Dunbar, they've got them on tape and they've got all the evidence, they've been paying off the witnesses in the case?
So you're telling me they were guilty, but they were trying to get out of this by paying out the witnesses. Okay.
And it was, and the way they did it was just so completely, I mean, just, it's not even it's one thing, again, to be dumb enough to pull a gat at a party when there's people around who can identify you, but then you got lawyers rolling tape and just all these conversations that the witnesses allegedly apparently have. So the bad news also, if these guys ever want, that, first of all, they got to have a court date, and the article that goes on to say that John Clayton wrote, because of the problems with COVID-19 and the court backlogs in Miami and in Dade County, they might not get to court to 2022.
And in
the meantime, Roger Goodell is not going to be allowing you to play football as you're going to be on that exempt list.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that part of it we haven't even talked about because we've been so caught up in COVID-19 and whether the season is or isn't going to happen. But you're right, Mike. I mean, that's the next part of this, right, that they've got to deal with.
Right, and the reason we bring it up is, for those who don't remember, DeAndre Baker was a star for the Georgia Bulldogs and then a first-round pick for the Giants, who, according to John Clayton, are prepared to cut him. So it's a tough situation, which, again, maybe they got in front of a jury and they could have gone their way, but they decided to try to pay guys off that were going to testify, and that's even worse. 2020 couldn't get any worse, could it, Carl?
No, it's been terrible, brother.
Well, let's add this to the list. I know you can't really take vacation anyway, but if you were planning a trip to Mongolia, you're probably going to pass on that.
Yeah, I would guess.
The UK's travel office, like our State Department over there, says that all travel, but essential international travel to Inner Mongolia, again, has been now banned because of bubonic plague.
Oh!
Yes. Warning comes after a hospital in Baiyinur, a city north of Beijing, again, because Mongolia is north of China for those who went to high school here, notified local government officials earlier that there's a suspected case of the bubonic plague. For those not familiar with bubonic plague, it wiped out half of Europe in the Middle Ages. So, again, a rodent believed to be the source of the highly infectious and often fatal disease. And again, up there, just like in China, they eat a lot of crazy stuff. They eat marmot, if you remember the movie The Big Lebowski. That's the critter that they threw into the bathtub on Jeff Bridges' character. The meat is a delicacy, Carl, in some rural areas, although it's illegal to hunt for marmot in Mongolia. But apparently, anyone who believes they've been exposed to bubonic plague should immediately report to the nearest hospital, the agency in the UK has said.
Wow. Okay. So the plague is back there now.
Yeah,
it's back.
I mean, apparently they're worried about bubonic plague over Mongolia. Can you? They really need a Burger King over there in China and Mongolia. You know what I mean?
Oh my God. I don't know if that would be enough.
That a kangaroo meat, but just, you know what I mean, cooked meat over flame. You know that somehow is in some way there's a level of preparation which will prevent anything else from happening around the rest of the world. Thanks, guys. Hey, man. You and I were talking earlier. This is Guy Talk, so we talk about cars. We love cars, and even though I'm not really in the market for an SUV, I got to be honest. I looked at the article that was out there, and I looked it up thanks to the guys who gave me the link to the article in Road and Track. We're talking about the new Ford Broncos, which some of the concept cars have been shown at car shows the past few years, but now they've made the big release, and now the pictures are out there. The new Ford Bronco, guys are asking, this car is going to start at under $30,000.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And, I didn't know what the price was.
Yeah. Base two-door, four-door model. The base is going to be $34,000. Now, again, as you've seen in the photos that I posted at Mike Bell ATL, dare I say, these have the more expensive options, like the leather seats that look like a catcher's mitt. So, I mean, but the cars are beautiful. It got Carl and I talking earlier about, you know, how you could argue, did they take a little bit from what Toyota's done over the years and a little bit from Jeep? But it also retains the coolness of the old 60s-looking Bronco. I mean, it's a beautiful-looking SUV.
It really is, man. I think it's going to be a huge seller for them. And I just like the flexibility of it. You can literally take it apart, take the roof off. It's very Jeepish in that way, but it's bulkier, Mike. I think it's got a little bit more, you know, bulk to it. And I was looking at some of the models after you talked about this earlier, and they've got everything you want, man. I mean, specifics to off-roading, to, you know, what they consider their luxury model, mm-hmm. which has all the bells and whistles, the big, you know, 12, 14-inch screen. I think it's going to be a hit for them.
The stores, again, when they're going to get out there, I don't know, because we've been kind of this weird, you know, sort of twilight with COVID-19 from, you know, factory workers and the mass production. I know, because I was just talking about this on the golf course the other day. I'm a big car guy. I got a Corvette. Everyone who knows I got Corvettes is like, hey, man, you're going to get the new one. The new one, if you got a 2020 Corvette Stingray, which is the only one that they made so far, Carl, that's going to be a super collector's item because the lack of production. They were late getting them out.
Oh,
and then,
yeah.
I know, but maybe for two or three showrooms around Atlanta that I talked to, some friends of mine in the car business, that after they actually have been able to get their hands on one. So, and then eventually they'll have the retractable hardtop or convertible they're working on. But that's one that was kind of became a casualty over the pandemic because of the work that didn't get done up at the factory in Bowling Green, from what I was told.
Wow. Yeah. Listen, that thing, Mike, and we have talked about it because you said you were going to wait. You know, we had talked about you maybe getting one.
I don't want to monkey around until anytime. It doesn't matter what the manufacturer is. There's always going to be some gremlins with a new car.
So you're saying because of the lack of production, it may be a collector's item.
Yeah, there's going to be fewer of these bad boys and a lot. I mean, kind of like the, I guess, what was it, the 82, Corvette guys would know this. There was like an 82 and a half year. Anytime you get this year of where the production started, the cars were sold in 19, but it was the 2020 model. There's just not a lot of them out there. I mean, how many guys have seen the new Corvette on the street?
Yeah, it's true.
I've seen one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point.
So that's, and again, eventually they'll get back to mass producing. But again, with the economy and the idea behind the Corvette was it was going to be a supercar that was priced for the working man. And then the same thing, you got to agree with the Ford price points. Not bad, the base model of that Ford Bronco. So it's pretty cool. Detroit, at least thinking about the average Joe out there. Hey, from Detroit down to Memphis. What's the most passionate? You ever get come to fisticuffs over a sports argument? You ever get that passionate about arguing sports that you really swung on a guy?
It's been a long time. Maybe in my younger days, you know, just talking with people, and then, you know, it gets out of hand. But I'll tell you, I probably got into more fisticuff opportunities, not complete just brawls, but I had a couple. On a basketball court, Mike, with just playing ball that has turned into something crazy that it shouldn't have with guys talking noise, but not necessarily in a sports conversation. Maybe once or twice. Maybe.
Marcus Davenport.
Maybe once or twice.
If you're down in New Orleans and you bring that, we might get some fisticuffs down outside the Royal Sonesta. But the reason I bring this up, down in Memphis, WREG Television reports a Memphis man charged with second-degree attempted murder after police say he shot his cousin in the chest because of an argument over whether the University of Memphis basketball coach Penny Hardaway is any good.
What?
Victim told police he was inside the home when he got into a verbal altercation with his cousin. Dare I say, that escalated quickly.
No
Taylor
doubt.
Taylor allegedly punched the victim in the face before pulling out a gun and firing. Report did not say what Taylor's stance on Hardaway was. July 3rd incident. So I would dare I say some alcohol or other substances were involved. But Penny Hardaway, 43-24 over his career the last 2 years at Memphis. Not really worth shooting a guy in the chest over, I would
say. No, that's not worth it, bro. Not worth it.
Well, it depends. If he said he didn't like the Little Penny commercials, then it could have really escalated from that point on, because Little Penny was great.
That's Tara Banks, fool! Chris Rock did the voice of the Little Penny, right?
Yes, he did.
Oh, by the way, thanks to the listeners who just hit us up, Ryan Holder just mentioned the bubonic plague in Mongolia. Apparently a squirrel in Colorado, according to CNBC, has tested positive for the bubonic plague. So again, 2020 just can't get any worse. Jefferson County, which is west of Denver, the first case in the region.
Okay.
Not that you should be around squirrels. If you see a squirrel, you know, there's a thing called a 22, and I advise you use it early and often. Hey, man, the birthdays today. It's July 14th. It's Bastille Day. And again, that's the French Independence Day. They stormed the Bastille, and then they eventually they killed the dude that ran it. But if you got a birthday today, it's July 14th. Real quick before I forget, she doesn't listen because I don't think she cares about sports. But my kid's sister, Cindy, it's her birthday today. She's 23 years old.
Well, happy birthday, Cindy. She doing okay?
Yeah, she's still with that idiot brother-in-law of mine, but don't bring that on the radio. You know?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I understand.
I'll give her. I told her why. I'd buy her an apartment if she breaks up with the guy. Is that meddling?
It's a little bit.
You know what? I just want what's best for her. Hey, man, other birthdays today. Your favorite MMA fighter, Conor McGregor, is 32
today. Hey, the double belt champion does whatever the hell I want.
Also, Jane Lynch, very talented actress from Glee, and she was in a lot of, been a ton of movies. She played the mom of Ricky Bobby, amongst others. Jane Lynch turned 60 today. And a shout out to a local guy. Again, you never want to be at a party that this guy's at because all the chicks will be staring at him because he's like carved out of wood. He's a trainer now. But former Falcon, also played for the Steelers, did some TV. DJ Johnson is 54. So shout out to D if he's in his car right now. If you got a birthday today, you share it with Happy Chandler. Wouldn't you love to have the nickname Happy? I guess that means you got things going on. The commissioner, amongst other things, signed off on Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier. The National League chief didn't want to do it, but the commissioner overrode him and allowed Branch Rickey to sign Jackie Robinson that first contract with the Dodgers. And then this will dovetail, Carl, into our game winner later tonight. William Hanna was born on this day in 1910. He of the Hanna-Barbera cartoons. Because, you know, Looney Tunes and Warner Brothers?
Yeah.
You got amongst others.
He was rich. He was
a couple
rich.
Of names at you. He did the Flintstones.
That's right.
He did Scooby-Doo. He did the Jetsons. Yogi Bear. Hey, boo-boo. All that stuff, amongst others. So, again, that'll get us into your favorite cartoons from your childhood. But Mr. Hanna, born on this day. And there's your guy talk for Tuesday.
If you've watched cartoons, which I know you have, you see that at the end of cartoons, and people have always probably wondered what the hell does that mean, right? Mm-hmm. That Hanna. At the end of it. All right, man. More to get to, including top three at 6, the latest on the Braves moves. Had a guy just hit us up. I love our listeners. Hey, Dukes and Bell, you guys hear about this? Braves sign Yasiel Puig. Yes. We
That's
know.
Our strong arm story of the day, Ace. Again, it's a big show, Jack. 5 hours.
But you know what? Hey, appreciate that. That's from Miss Schultz, so appreciate that. Mm-hmm. All right, we're coming back. The latest headlines, including what's going on down in Orlando. We're getting ready for Atlanta United on Thursday, and the big headline with the Braves next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.